You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
Made another disappointing game, this one, that we played the Bulldogs. And, you know, a promising start, I should say. We kicked the first two goals of the game. But from then on, looked like the Bulldogs had most of the control. And through what I think is a really suspect game plan of kicking the ball sideways, losing ground, only to then, you know, bomb it long to an outnumbered number of bombers. It wasn't a surprise to me how many times we lost possession of the footy. And you looked at the marks, mate, of our defenders. Every one of them almost had at least 10 marks. But that's where stats can really, you know, tell you a different story, because whilst they took the marks, they don't tell you that it was like a 15 meter pass, you know, left and right. So really disappointing. And that was topped off even further when we learned that now Jordan Ridley will be out 4 to 6 weeks. And mate, I don't know about you, but I thought he is clearly our best player. So he's a real loss.
Yeah, absolutely, James. He's a star week in, week out, and certainly makes our back six stand a lot taller, and he'll be sorely missed. But I think, James, look, I've been sort of defending that that game plan. Like, I have quite liked the sort of meticulous way we've been able to move the ball up the ground. And even on the day on Friday, I'd say there were still parts of it which I quite liked. But you're right, it's that there's no good sort of chip, side to side, and then just bombing along, because that gives the Dogs time, and basically all their opponents time, to drift down back and take an easy intercept mark. And it's not like we're kicking with any sort of precision or really kicking any 20 targets. Like, that, as far as I can tell, the plan is, oh look, just get it inside 50 enough times, and hopefully the forwards will make something happen. But I tell you what will make something happen a lot easier, James, if your plan is to bomb it in, maybe play a small forward. Look, I know it's mad, James. And go look, figure. I know we've all sort of lauded the lauded Matt Guelfi for his ability, like, as a pressure forward. But he is not a natural small forward, James. Like, there's no one, like, he just doesn't have that sort of nous you need to swoop in on a loose footy or whatever. Like, to me, I don't know what Menzies has done to Brad Scott to give him the irrits, but there is no way known he should have been dropped for that game. And you saw it so many times, even as disappointed as we were, they were just bombarded in with no direction up forward. How bloody useful a small forward with a nous for, grabbing a crumb and some reading off the pack would have been. We just didn't have it.
No, that was really surprising, Menzies being out. When he wasn't originally named in the 22, I just assumed, he's a Monty to be the sub, and, you know, come game day, they can make changes to the 22 from there. But when they announced Nick Hind was going to be the sub, and Nick Hind did play well once he got on the ground against Geelong. So not blaming him for coming into the side. But, I mean, I think that the fact that Menzies was out as well really was a question mark for me. And as you say, mate, it left us very top-heavy, because we lost two forwards. The way I saw it is, Wiedemann's predominant role is forward. And, you take Menzies out as well. And we actually replaced them with two players that either play wing or defensive wing and a defender. So, I was really surprised with that. It was great to see Nick Cox back. But, I mean, he's certainly not a small forward. He's not going to replace the role that Menzies plays. So, I was just all in all really surprised with selection. And I will say, mate, it's been a bugbear of mine. And thanks to Scooter for pointing this out. Essendon are the fifth less team to use players in their rotation. So we've used 33 players for the year, mate. That's the fifth lowest in all player counts and all club counts. So to me, we're not playing. I think we're not promoting from the VFL well enough.
Yeah.
I think we've all saw that Kane Baldwin's been doing a good job. You know, last week I was surprised. You know, I'm sure if Laverty had gone down and not been able to make it up, he would have come in. But, we've only seen him once or twice for the whole year, Baldwin. Again, we talk about improvement. Improvement's going to come from players that aren't in the side as well. So, we've all been waiting to see Sardis get his chance. Surely that's not too far away. And there's a number of forwards, mate, in Davey and also, you know, even Anthony McDonald, Tim Woody, Wanganine. They've even been named emergencies, but they've never been given back into the side after originally starting in the year, you know, like when I talk about Davey and Tip and Woody. So I'm really not sure what our selection is. It seems like we're playing the senior player, like Brad likes to play his tried and trusted team. But, I think he's got to allow, that to be challenged at times and give players opportunities as well to maybe bring something different to the team.
Yeah, I see your point, James. Some of those I see a bit differently. And I think realistically, just to caveat anything I'm about to say is, when we're winning, it covers over a lot of cracks. So, I was, and I'm sure a lot of other Bomber fans will say, oh, look, we've had a great year. Look at the development we've done. But then you had other guys saying, well, actually, are we developing? And we were saying, oh, gee, people just love to pot us and stuff like that. But then when you look at the facts, James, you're right. Like, to only have played 33 players in a development year, like it's a stated development year by the club. So it's not like we came up with that terminology. The club said that. And really the blokes who aren't playing, basically for injury. Injury or, fitness, realistically. So you think of, the blokes who've been best 22. So you think of, Scheel, McDonald, Tip, Woody, Wiedemann. Like, that's already three names out of that side. And we've only played another six or seven more for the year. So I think that point of not developing players is probably justified. However, I would look on the other side of that. And I'd have to say that it's not like our small forwards in VFL have been lining it up, Jan. McDonald, Tip and Woody, he has lacked for fitness. He's been working bloody hard and he has done some nice things in the VFL. However, his goal kicking has, really gone astray. So whether that's a confidence thing, whether that's, he's doing so much running that he's just buggered for game day and doesn't have that same poise he would kick for goal, I don't know. And then you look at, Wanganine and Davey. Look, they do some exciting things, but they do it in parts. They haven't been able to string together consistent four quarters. And that's in the VFL, let alone the AFL. You look at other guys who were sort of trying to bring into the side. Baldwin, he's just, I would say, unfortunate for a number of reasons. Like, you look at our back line, they've been fairly solid all year. The one position that I think is gettable is that back pocket role. Baldwin, I don't see taking that role. I don't think he's quick enough to go on a small. He's a good mark. So he's kind of going for that same role as, Laverty and Ridley for mine. So that's, I suppose, unfortunate thing. And then realistically, Sardis has only come back from injury. He's playing well, getting plenty of footy, but his, disposal has left a bit to be desired. And so the thinking might be, look, let's get him up and going. He's played what, four games now, VFL level, James, or maybe he's three.
Five. I think it's his fifth game.
But even so, like, to come back from injury and he's performing at a decent level, to then go straight into the fire of an AFL match, I think might be a bit unfair. Look, I'm sure he's chomping at the bit. But, I mean, all these things kind of come into it. And we talk about, yeah, losing two forwards for the match, Jam. I agree with that. The call with Wiedemann, yeah, we all think is absolutely the right one. It looks like he's gone back to the VFL and performed quite well. So, yeah, potentially that might have been the circuit breaker he needed. And hopefully, yeah, the club can take advantage of. So it's not as easy as, you know, just saying, geez, we haven't been daring enough in our selection. However, I would say with some of our players that we continue to play, I agree with your point, Jane. He continues to play the same blokes, whether they're performing or not. So we saw that with Wiedemann up to a point and then he's out. Personally, I think we really have to look at blokes like Snelling. You know, seven possessions on the weekend, Jane.
Not good enough.
Stringer, obviously, eight possessions. And we know, like, unless he goes in the midfield, which he's clearly not fit enough to do right now, he doesn't often get great numbers, but it's not like he's been able to go through big bursts and take the game by the scruff of the neck, as we know he's more than capable of. He can't be fit, Jamie. He's obviously playing through something. So, I think that mantra that they've sort of talked about, making sure guys are 100% fit. If they're not, then they're not playing. Well, I think, you know, that's a bit of Porky's there, because you're obviously making exceptions with the likes of Stringer. So there's all that sort of goes into it. But all that said, Jam, if we're playing a systems-based sort of game plan where it shouldn't necessarily have to rely on a certain player to, you know, play outstandingly for us to get a result, you only have to look at our efficiency inside 50 to show that the system is not working. We are not working to a game plan that stacks up, you know, in the season, let alone in finals. If you can only manage 30.6% efficiency inside 50, you're not going to win many games of footy. On the other side.
Yeah, well, essentially, I was just going to say quickly, essentially, that's like kicking the ball 10 times inside your 50. Mm. And seven times it rebounds straight out.
Yeah.
Mm. Sorry,
yeah, that's it. And no, well, because the Dogs, yeah, a bit over 50%. So, and I think all of us would say our back six have held up bloody, bloody well over the year. And I thought they did again on the weekend. And I see it's pretty bloody unfair on the back line to cop that sort of that barrage. So that whole team defense thing. Who knows what happened there? But I will say, I don't think it's effort. I think the effort's there, but the fact remains for mine, James. I think we're a soft football team in terms of when the screws get turned and blokes really come out. Like you saw at the end of that first quarter, James, like we had the ascendancy and we were beating them in the clearances. And stoppages and winning the ball at the source, right? And then it's like a flick got switched for the Bulldogs. Liberatore in particular is like, no, I'm not copping that. And he came out breathing fire, Jam. And you look at the end of the day, the Bulldogs had 47 clearances to our 26. Our midfield got smashed. Mm-hmm. And that's with us winning the hitouts, like 51 hitouts to their 35. But they're still winning the clearances because they're able to shark the footy and either, you know, there's no talk happening between the ruck and midfield group, or the midfield group's just clearly being outpointed by a more experienced and tougher midfield unit in the Bulldogs. So, yeah, pretty bloody disappointing all around with that. It's pretty hard. I know we're fans, James, and I dare say I'm not the only one. He's still pretty livid from the performance I saw on Friday night. I know it's just one game out of many during the season, but unfortunately, on the back of the Geelong game, to then roll into this week where you think we should be a good chance against the Bulldogs, that hope of us having a side that could compete in the finals, that just dissolved for me on the weekend. I was just really disappointed with how we performed.
Yeah, well, It was just more our game style that really irked me. I go every week, as you know. And there was a really good crowd there, 43,000, predominantly Essendon fans. But even the supporters, mate, though, it was hard to get into a game like that when your team's just chipping around, left and right and not really, with conviction.
Yeah.
So that was really disappointing. And like, even though there was 43,000 at the game, the crowd noise that usually become accustomed to at Marvel just wasn't there. It was not the same as, even the Adelaide game where we, had all the, much better play. But even in that game, mate, I was looking back and I went back and watched that last quarter against the Crows. And we played a similar style of what we have in the last 2 weeks where we were chipping the football. And guess what? Adelaide outscored us badly in the last term of that game when we played Adelaide. It continued into the Geelong game. And all right, Geelong are a different beast and hard for us to contend with. As you say, mate, it's probably more their body types are totally different to ours. But, we were just, shown how far off we were from Geelong. But I didn't have the same feeling going into the Bulldogs game, and sounds like you didn't either. They, as you said, I was watching Libba and, he's an angry man. Just the amount of pushing and, every contest he's in someone's face.
Yeah.
And he'd be annoying to play against, I get it. But again, we've got to change our temperament because we're almost accepting of that. Yeah. There's no one there to, pull him up. And all right, he is a tough man. But we've got to be able to. And I think this is where we're missing someone like a Draper.
Yeah.
And we've lost a lot since Sam Draper came out, and mainly because his enthusiasm really spread to the team, I think.
Yeah.
And, I just don't feel the same. And, all right, we've had two bad losses in a row. But going into the Sydney game, can you honestly say that you're confident of beating Sydney, considering their hard-nosed players?
No, never confident of beating Sydney, James. It's, I can't be confident about us against any team. That's the sad... sad reflection. I think you're right. Like the bloke like a Sam Draper, look, what he lacks for in polish sometimes, he makes up for physicality. He, he's not scared to, put someone on their ass. Like, not that he does it regularly, but he's certainly done it, previously. And that's what we're really missing, someone to, fairly, but just, give the likes of Liberatore a bit of a bump, just to let him know you're there. And he's not going to get away with his bullying tactics because, unfortunately, that's what we allow teams to do week in, week out. We saw it against Collingwood. Like, whenever there's any sort of physical pressure, we tend to wither away, Jamie. That's really disappointing for mine. We can train skills and all the rest of it. How you train temperament, though? I don't know how you do it. Lock him up in the room and get him to force watch him to watch all sorts of terrible things. But I don't know how you do it, Dane. But something has to be changed.
Certainly does. It should be said, like, one of the players we hope would help in that realm. Not that he's a physical player, but Will Setterfield would have been that bigger bodied midfield would have been more than handy because, Ben Hobbs would have been really, really happy about his development this year. He's really getting his time. But both him and Parrish had a really tough day, tough game that day.
Yeah.
And we needed that next group of mids to come in. And as you say, with the likes of Snelling getting 7 possessions, Stringer obviously not an option to go into the midfield. We're still missing Shiel. our choices are getting quite diluted, and that's why I'm saying, even though his body type's not suited for senior footy quite yet, but if you've got a young star like Elijah Asada, like, give him a taste of it. And like, obviously young players rarely come into the midfield straight away. They usually start on a wing or something like that. But we need to look at the next options, because you know, I think losing Shield and Setterfield has really taken away the depth. And as I said, with the likes of Hobbs and Parrish and Caldwell getting their opportunities, that's great. But you also need to have a long list to be able to rotate through there.
Mm.
It's a long game and players get tired, and sometimes players have bad games, and you just got to keep rotating them. And I don't think we had that option on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, mate, let's rip the Band-Aid off again. Let's go through the game. And as I said, I was sitting there in high anticipation. I knew that if we won, we would go to sixth on the ladder. And if we lost, we could be as low as 11. And that's pretty much how it played out. But the game started on good terms.
Yeah, mate. You know, we got it straight out of the centre and bombed it down forward. And Peter Wright played the role of the small forward and crumbed it and snapped it through, mate.
Yeah, that was great to see, because there's a big pack and basically too many Bulldogs flew, and Peter Wright stayed down and got the ball and did a nice snap from about 35 out.
Certainly did, mate. Then not too long after, we saw Carl Langford bob up for a goal.
Well, we should be used to this, mate. Every game, Langford's scoring a goal, and he did again, and he's a pretty reliable kick. So we're always pretty safe in his hands, the footy.
Absolutely, mate. Then we saw the ball sort of bobble around both ends for quite a while. Neither team could really sort of gain ascendancy before we finally saw the Dogs get on the board through Anthony Scott kicking one through, which is, a bit disappointing.
I believe that was a free kick from hand, was it? I think it was near my end, and I was a bit like, oh my God, like we started the game so well, but we weren't making the most of our opportunities going inside 50, I didn't think.
No.
And then when the Dogs got that goal back, it hurt a bit.
Certainly did, mate. And look, those efforts inside 50 continue to haunt us. Where, Matt Guelfi had a slight chance, but unfortunately wasn't able to put it through. Marcus Bontempelli have a shot for them, not be able to put it through. But, Peter Wright bobbed up and, kicked his second for the quarter.
Yeah, really good start for Pete. And Pete's given the Dogs a bit of a hiding at times. We all remember that 7-goal haul, I think, in 2021, which was right on the eve of the finals. We had to win those last few games to make the finals. And that was a big game that year. And I just remember Peter Wright kicking 7. It was a massive achievement. And having 2 goals in the first quarter, I thought he's untouched to do it again.
Yeah, that's what we would have liked to think. Carl Langford also had another shot for goal, but unfortunately wasn't able to put it through. But that put us up at the quarter-time break. 3 goals, 2:20 to their 1 goal, 3:09. So a couple of goals up.
Yeah, so that was a good start, and really important clash. It was great to get a good start, but I mean, always felt a little bit of wasted opportunity considering how much footy we sent into our forward 50 at that time.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. I think to start off that second quarter, Jamari Ugelhagen got on the board. I'm pretty sure that was from a free kick, wasn't it, Jane?
He was looking lively. Zerk was mainly playing on him, I think, and doing his best. But he got a free kick and a goal.
Yeah, and that was followed up very soon after by Marcus Bontempelli, and that that hard fought lead we had Yeah, to start that first quarter, yeah, it was gobbled up, yeah, within 5 minutes of the second, which is pretty disappointing. And that was followed up soon after by Cody Waitman, which, yeah, really just frustrates you, to let that bloke get off the leash again.
Yeah, he's caused us a lot of headaches, that kid. And he's got a head that you wouldn't mind knocking, if you know what I mean. So,
yeah
he gets quite jovial once he gets scoring a goal or two. And, he certainly let us know about it.
Certainly did, mate. We did strike back, though, through Kyle Langford, who kicked another nice one. But unfortunately, we'd already we gave up four goals in a row. And, you know, while we got that goal back, the Dogs came straight back. You know, there was a shot to Liberatore who missed, but then Riley West kicked one before Aaron Norton had a shot and missed, and Jamara Eagle-Hagan, who this one really frustrated me, Jane, where, like, there was a pack of players went up for the mark. I'm pretty sure it's this one. Basically, everyone got a hand on it, and the ball just happened to land in his lap. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, that's a mark, and it was paid. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, the Dogs certainly were given a lot more free kicks than us. And I don't know what Ben Hobbs did to the Bulldogs, to the umpires. They had his number, mate. Every time they saw him go near the footy, it was holding the ball. So, yeah, he was in for a tough night. And, as I said, the Bulldogs was definitely getting the rub of the green.
Certainly were, mate. And then we saw, I kind of felt like, even though I know it was early in the game, Jane, like the Dogs were just blitzing us, but I kind of felt the game was getting away from us. But then we got, Zach Merritt came through and, he lined up and kicked an important goal to keep us within a sniff.
Yeah, it was a captain's goal, mate, because we needed it. And, the Bulldogs had really overpowered us that quarter. As you said, starting off with four goals on succession, and then, they basically kicked six for the quarter against our two. So we found ourselves, I think, 14 points down at halftime break.
Certainly did, mate. Going into the half, you just thought, Callum Boy, steady. Like, it's only a couple of goals, really. But that third quarter, I mean, we started, fairly well. Like, it was pretty tough contested. Like, neither side was really getting the 70. And then we saw Peter Wright get his third goal, and he thought, all right, we could be back on here. It was a good goal from him. But then another one of those players for the Dogs that just lifted, Marcus Bontempelli, came through and kicked one. And tell you what, after he worked so hard for Peter Wright to get that goal, those ones really hurt.
That really did hurt because, the Bont knows how to insert himself into the game, mate, and he was, too much for us to handle on the night. And, kicking goals makes him even more dangerous. And that was his second.
Certainly was, mate. And then we saw, there was a missed shot for goal from Kyle Langford before the Dogs took it up their end, and Oscar Baker kicked one from the boundary. Like, it was a good goal, but bloody hell, like, you just thought, surely we can hold that up, but unfortunately weren't able to. Now, Nick Cox drifted forward and had a shot for goal, and actually thought he'd been playing quite well for the game, but unfortunately wasn't able to kick that through. That basically ended the quarter. We're still the 20 points down. So 6 goals, 5:41 to their 9 goals, 7:61. And I just kind of felt it was a bit of a ho-hum quarter, Jane. Like, neither side really grabbed the game to the scruff of the neck. And as much as we tried to get it down our end, the Dogs just had just sort of fought harder and seemed to have the answers to us.
That quarter we didn't make any ingrounds, and in fact we lost a goal, so it was now a 20-point margin. As I said, we'd been watching the whole game, this kick sideways, kick right, and I thought, well, surely at three-quarter time Brad Scott's going to try and get him up. You know, just say we've got to attack now, you know. Mm. We've got a quarter to make up this ground. We're going to have to play a different way. Mm. And the quarter started well.
It did, mate. Yeah, with a very early goal to Matt Guelfi, which is good to see. And so you thought, oh, okay, back within a, you know, 2.5 kicks. And then we saw that mark from Peter Wright, you know, right on the 50 there. And, geez, his kick looked good, Jame. But then, unfortunately, yeah, it slammed into the post. And you just thought, oh, that, like, because you could hear the crowd. And it seemed like, yeah, that could have been a real momentum, you know, swinger.
That's what it felt like at the game too, mate. I was going to say was that I could hear the crowd starting to get excited. You know, I hadn't heard it all game really. Yep. And you know that miss. Okay, let's lock the ball in forward 50 and have another go. But as you'll explain, it didn't go that way.
It certainly didn't, mate. And we saw Cody Waitman, of all people, come up and kick his second for the night. And you just said, oh, bloody hell. Like, come on, boys, you got to lift up. But I will say, at that time, I know the players were getting frustrated and us fans were getting frustrated, the umpiring and the lack of consistency in how, you know, the holding the ball determination is called. Because we'd see, like, we'd get them down and, you know, they'd, you know, drop the footy or, you know, not dispose of it correctly. I'm not even going to talk about Treloar and his lack of ability to handball, just straight out throwing. But, you know, as players, one thing I'm hoping that I'm sure they do, but you could see the boys were getting really frustrated with, then putting in the effort, which was great, and not getting rewarded. But you have to play the whistle. You can't go getting frustrated because it's not going to change. You just have to play better. And unfortunately, we let our frustrations get the better of us. And, the dog sort of waltz over us. You know, we saw Bailey Smith get a shot at goal. You know, fortunately he missed, but we allowed Jamari Ugle-Hagan to get hold of us. Like, he kicked one of those, had a shot for another, almost from the same spot, but wasn't able to put it through. Before we finally saw Jake Stringer get half a chance at one, but wasn't able to put it through. And those ones are usually his bread and butter, Jane. Like, I know it wasn't an overly easy goal, but what was he, about 35, maybe 40 out? Not a huge angle. He slotted plenty of those in his time, but, yeah, obviously missed, which, disappointing. And then they take it straight up their end and, Treloar kicks the goal just to kill it. And not only that, they sort of rubbed our noses in it when we saw Cody Waitman take like a full forward type mark over the top of our backs. And you thought, like, how do we allow that to happen? Which is disappointing. We'd already sort of lost all semblance of competitiveness by that stage. And at the end of the day, we lost by 31 points.
41, right?
Yeah, 41, my bad. Bloody hell, I was giving us more credit than we were due. So 49 to their 90. So 25 scoring shots to them to our 14. So if you're giving up that amount of scoring shots, you're not often going to have a good time.
Yeah, I think the worrying sign for us, mate, last 2 weeks, we've kicked 7 goals in both our games. So, I think we're all prepared to accept the Geelong game as a one out of the box, that we just didn't come to the park in the right condition to play well. Mm. I don't think anyone expected us to play like that at Marvel.
No.
A ground where we play quite good footy usually.
Mm.
And on the back of a good win against Adelaide, I don't think anyone would have thought, oh, Essendon will go out there and kick 7 goals tonight on the back of kicking the first 2 goals. So when you think about it, from that point on, you know, we've kicked 5 more goals and they've kicked 13. Yeah. So it was a real procession of goals to the Dogs. And again, that coaching style, Brad's got a lot of credit in the bank so far, you know, for all the change, and we're on board. I mentioned a few weeks earlier, I was only starting to wonder about his selections because I was starting to get suspect on them because I thought he's just playing the same people every week.
Yeah.
But now this coaching style, like, surely the coaches can see it's not working. We're not creating score. And even we've got to risk it being scored against in the efforts of scoring a goal ourselves. I'd rather that than this other play where we're getting goals kicked on us anyway and playing slow football, which is making it easier for our team. And I think Gary Lyon after the game, mate, I watched the replay when I got home. And after the game, they were doing a bit of a debrief. And he said, the worst team in the competition that didn't want to take on, you know, Essendon, you know, having the ball go in deep into their forward 50, were given the easiest task of just watching the ball move slowly up the ground, giving them time and space to clog up when the ball was going to be directed forward 50. So if we played a faster style, that would have made the Dogs more nervous. And I agree with that. I think that's correct. But, you know, hindsight's always great. But I think our coaches really need to see that, you know, and as I said, I went back further. I went and watched the last quarter against Adelaide. And we played a similar style. And again, Adelaide really beat us in the last quarter. So, you know, I heard Brad Scott say, yeah, they coach that kind of style, but it's, you know, the players are taking it too literal. But I mean, surely as a coach, you know, you've got three chances to speak to them during the game, you know, as a group. Yeah, what are you saying to them at those breaks? Are you saying, guys, I know we've asked you to do this, but not every time. You know, surely that would have seen some kind of change, but the whole game. And mate, I'm going to knock someone here, and it's only because he's a more of a senior player, and I think he can cop it. You know, Jake Kelly, he is slowing us down. Like, I can't say it anymore. I watched the game, and he gets the ball every time. You can bet he'll take, you know, at least 5 to 10 seconds to decide what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
You've got to play on the spur of the moment because these other teams are too good. They can read what you're going to do next. And, yeah, as a senior player, I wonder about his spot in the side, mate. You know, maybe with Ridley going out, it makes it easier for him to hold. But, I mean, we've got to play more on impact and more on, just impulse to try and create more scoring opportunities.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Jay. But I don't think it's necessarily knocking the player. It's knocking the style of play that he's demonstrating. Because I think, all Essendon fans, or most Essendon fans anyway, would agree that defensively he's quite sound generally. But with ball in hand, he slows us up. And he's not the only one. As good as he's played, for the last couple of months especially, Dyson Heppel is another one. In their defence, though, I will say our movement, and I don't know how it looked at the ground, James. I'm just a TV watcher over the border, but it's not like our forward movement was great. We seemed pretty stagnant. It was like, the way the Dogs set up, our forwards just sort of looked at it and go, oh, gee, that's pretty tough to get through, and didn't really present huge options. Or if they did, they'd all run to the same spot. So look, to not be able to find an option, disappointing. And I think, the point is, if we just sit back and allow the Dogs especially to sort of go up forward and clog up any entry, well, of course it's going to swing back out pretty quickly. And I guess that's the second unfortunate thing was our ball movement going up was quite slow, but then we didn't have the structure to be able to relent their movement going back up the ground. Like, we got opened up numerous times, James. As soon as that ball got turned over, the Dogs were out. They had 3-4 blokes on the loose, and I just got to think, The team defense that, yeah, I think they were trying to implement at the start of the year and have done quite successfully on a number of games. It's like that completely went out the window at times. And yeah, we're very vulnerable on the rebound, Jane, which was pretty disappointing. So, and I will say, yeah, with Cully in particular, that was probably, yeah, one of the first games where I'm like, oh, we're not going to go forward with blokes like this in the side, because you're right, like our ball movement is just completely like halted. So yeah, it's there's going to be some tricky calls, you know, at the end of the year. I'm not sure how long Jake Kelly's got left on his contract, Jamie.
He signed for 3 years initially, yeah. I know that because we got him as a free agent.
Yep.
So I think this would be year three, would it not?
Yeah, I mean, Edek has got a year to go. Like you still sort of think, well, is that his position long term? You look at how Nick Hind came into the game, James. Like, he completely changed the dynamic. Like that run through the center that got us a scoring opportunity. Like, we didn't have that drive, and that completely changed the way we looked as a side. And yes, he's got his things that he needs to work on, like defensively especially. But at least he's trying to take the game on and create some opportunities, because they're not just going to appear out of nowhere. You have to sort of work for them. And look, I'm not putting that on Jake Kelly. I think he's a very solid defensive player. But I think for our sort of game style, we can't have blokes clogging up the footy, allowing the team defense to halt any momentum.
And I will say, mate, before we have a break, the other thing concerning now is our percentage. It's dropped down to 98.4. You know, you look at a team like Carlton, right? Now, they are 116%. So that shows you they can beat up on the lower teams, but not get beaten badly by the good side generally.
Yep.
And most of the teams are around just over 104, like the ones in our area anyway. The Bulldogs, they're only 106, St Kilda 104, GWS 102. But it's teams like Carlton with, they've already had a draw, so they're kind of not on even points with us. But if they were, you can see what a big difference 116% is opposed to 98. Oh, it's worth a game.
Yep.
So that's what we need to be able to do better, because there's been times this year where we've got decent leads, mate, but we've kind of softened Adelaide game's probably a good example.
Mm.
We're going towards building a little bit of percentage, when you looked at the third quarter. We end up, scraping in by two or three goals. It does make a difference to the outlook. So you're going to get that killer instinct and be able to beat off the teams that we need to win, and start really not just frustrating the teams in the top four or five, but actually beating them, which would be great. I know we beat Melbourne, but apart from that, I don't think we've beaten a team in the eight, have we, mate?
We've beaten the one.
We've beaten Melbourne. That's it.
It was funny, though.
We beat the GWS Giants. They're actually seventh spot at the moment.
Well, this is the thing. So Ian Hume from Don the Stat, I think it was him, said, at the start of this round, we'd only beaten one team in the eight, and now we've beaten four. Well, that's because they've overlapped us on the ladder because we've been losing games. And it's a fair call, because really, we've let this opportunity slip, let other teams get ahead of us. And really, of the top sides, we have only beaten the one. So, as much as, I was one, they were thinking, maybe we've got a team that can, challenge in finals. I sort of question our ability to make it there at the moment, let alone challenge because, the last couple of games have just left a poor taste in your mouth.
Yeah, it really soured our season, so to speak. But there's still weeks to go, mate. So this big game coming up against the Swans, it really is do or die in terms of final aspirations for us at least. And you would hope for a much better result. But again, we're going to be missing Jordan Ridley, which will be a big loss. We all can see Jake Stringer's not fully fit. So if he comes out as well, there's going to have to be some, major changes to the list or to the side that might change the game style, hopefully. So let's wait and see for that. But let's have a break, mate. We'll discuss our VFL teams and we'll also go by the numbers and do our Don's Cast medal vote. And you're listening to Don's Cast, and it was a triple blow to the Bombers this weekend, mate, in all results. Firstly, we knew our VFL women team were in a prelim, which was a great effort. They were going up against Port Melbourne, and sounds like it was a tough, tough game for the girls.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jane, I wasn't able to watch this game, more due to... illness and fatigue. After Friday's performance, I was sick and tired of the Bombers. Port Melbourne, stifled their run early. So, we got the 0-3. They had no score. But, those 3 points, came back to bite us hard because that next quarter, Port Melbourne piled on 3-2. And we only managed the 1 point, so pretty disappointing. And they kept it on from there. So they kicked another 2-2 in the third, and 1-1 in the last. And we finally got a goal in the last quarter, but ended up finishing the game down by 5 goals. 1-5-11 to their 6-5-41. Now, look, while I didn't watch the game, Jame, I know the ladies would have played their absolute hearts out. That's one thing I sort of noticed from the limited footage I've watched this season. They do not lack for effort. But it is, I would say, again, having not watched that particular game, but watched bits and pieces of other games, is our polish and use of the footy can use a bit of work. So, look, while it's disappointing to lose, I think, the ladies really need to be applauded for the season they've had. Remembering, Jane, that they started off with a pretty rough trot. Basically lost the first, I'm pretty sure it was 3 or 4 games before we finally jumped on the board. And had some good wins. And to make it to the prelim in any year is a fantastic effort. And you also take that into context of the end of the year. Obviously, we had the AFLW team start up, and that took a lot of players from our VFLW squad, as well as other teams in the AFLW and VFLW poaching from the squad we had. So, all in all, I think Travis Cloak and the ladies of the VFLW side should be congratulated and should look quite proudly on the season they've had, and hopefully they can build to bigger and better things. And who knows, there might be a few ladies on that list who can find an AFLW spot again. I guess one that we know has hung up the boots is Kendra Hale. So she's retired from the VFLW. So I guess you can look back on the premiership we had last year and think proudly of her efforts and the team's efforts for that year. And overall, disappointing, but well done for getting to the prelim.
Yeah, well done, ladies. Now, mate, our VFL team were actually playing as we were, which is, again, unfortunately, something we had to get used to this year. So it's hard to double up on games. So I didn't see any of this game, mate, mainly because I was at the ground watching the seniors. But I believe the guys were going quite well. I was checking my stats on the phone, on the from the comfort of the stands, and I saw we were up going into three quarter time, but I think the ran out of legs, and I think we got run over by about a goal. I think they won by a goal in the end.
Yeah, which is a bit of a shame, and it seems to be a I suppose a fairly consistent theme of the VFL, where they've been pretty plucky at times, and you think about games against Collingwood and all the rest of it, where they've been up, but then just get run over at the end, which is unfortunate. You sort of look at the makeup of the side, quite young as a side, not only the AFL guys but the VFL proper players as well, quite young, so disappointing. But they didn't. I don't think they lost any friends over that game, Jane. Like we played hard, and it's good to see the likes of Voss kick a couple of goals, Mankara kick a couple of really nice, just clever goals, Jane, which is excellent to see. So it's like a shame they lost, but it's good to see our young players seem to be performing well. And I did see a snippet of Wanganine intercept a bit of play, Jame, and the ball was kicked short, and he gobbled it up and ran in, and from about 45 or 50 or so, just launched it and kicked it straight through for a beautiful goal. So he's one I'm really excited to see develop. Look, he hasn't been able to string together big games, but you can just see he's got class written all over him.
Yeah, he's waiting for his opportunity, isn't he? We talk about some players there. I heard Wiedemann, he might have taken, was it 12 marks?
13 marks, I think.
13 marks. I believe he was playing down back again, mate. So I'm not sure if that's been confirmed, but I did read some comments that he was playing behind the ball. Let's hope he wasn't getting his marks like Jake Kelly. Just little sneak kicks. Like, I shouldn't just say Jake Kelly, because it was all our defenders, really. But apart from Jordan Ridley, who actually was marking contested balls. But it was great to see that he had some good results for himself personally, because it is sad to hear he's had to delete his social media, mate, because he was getting blasted and people just, really attacking him. That's led to some personal issues to himself. And, we've all been critical sometimes of his play, but I don't know where anyone thinks they have the right to invade someone's own private space and say, hey, you're doing a bad job for us. Mm. We can have our opinions, but to actually go beyond that and then try and contact a person, like, how helpful do you think you were going to be to that person? Firstly, what gives you the right to do that? Like, we get frustrated, mate, but there's boundaries and they're there for a reason.
Yeah, definitely. It's not like he's going, you know what, I'm just going to stink it up for a bit. Like, that sounds like a good time. Like, he's obviously trying to play his best. So it's good to see he went back and found a bit of the footy down there. Potentially that might have been part of the reasoning, like send him down back, get him to be able to read the play a bit better and all the rest, without the pressure of having to kick all the goals for the side. So, good to see him get plenty of the footy and take a bunch of marks. I did see, I've watched a little bit of the highlights, and he took some nice marks up the ground, which is good. So not solely down back. So, it could be a promising sign to hopefully unlock, I suppose, cycle of poor performance. Outside of that, it's good to see Elijah Stardust again, collecting the footy at will, like 23 disposals, 7 tackles, Jack, and 7 clearances as well. So his ability to find the footy is unquestioned, and I'd certainly like to see him pop up for a game or two in the seniors. So if he keeps putting through performances like that, mate, yeah, it'll be hard to deny.
Yeah, well, he has a point of difference from our mids as well, like with that genuine burst of speed. And he's able to build speed off one or two steps, which is, you know, something you either have or you don't, mate. And I don't. But, yeah, he can just burst out of a pack, out, you know, just because of his speed. And then, you know, he's able to find the footy. So, yeah, he, like even as a sub, it might be good to see him in the senior side, mate. If you, you know, if you don't think you can get a full game out of him, might be valuable to him going forward. But let's wait and see. There's sure to be changes this week with selection, as we know, with Ridley out. So yeah, let's wait and see how much Brad Scott's going to change his team up on the back of two bad performances, and you know, the need through injury and so forth. So yeah, be interested in team selection. Mate, as we move on, it's time to go by the numbers, and we start with Andy McGrath.
Yeah, he had a funny game. I actually quite liked his game, particularly early, Jane. I thought, yeah, I was that sort of small defender. I thought he was thwarting off quite a number of entries for the Dogs and trying to get us and run going out of the 50. Look, I know his disposal wasn't always great, but to have the five intercept possessions, six contested, shows he was working bloody hard for it. I thought he was trying to generate some run for us, and that's probably shown by 350 odd meters gained. Actually laid a few tackles too, which is good to see. Yeah, look, we made the day pretty hard for our defenders, so I'd have to say overall he had a solid night for us.
Yeah, and he had a triple double, mate. He had 12 kicks, 14 handballs, and 10 marks. So, I know that's not a term that usually is used for football, but yeah, I'm making it out. So, let's move on to the next one. Darcy Parrish, again, found the footy, mate. But and what I've got to say, hats off to him. He had seven tackles on the weekend, so he really was trying to have an impact. It's still like that. Yeah, the field kicking, his disposal efficiency was listed at 83%, which surprises me. But again, it might be those safe kicks that really build up those stats.
Yeah.
But he had a tough night at it, and it's mainly because the bigger bodies of the Bulldogs really just dominated around the ball.
Yeah, they did, mate. Look, I thought he was solid, like he was getting enough of the footy, but just not impactful for my, like having the nine clearances, but outside of a couple where he kind of whipped it out and got it going forward for us, I just didn't see him as, like, you know, those games where you think, oh, geez, he's playing a blinder. Like, so he was doing the hard work, like I say, with those seven tackles and trying to be a bit more physical. But, just for mine, like, he played okay, but I can't say he starred on the night.
Kyle Langford, he's been a godsend all year, mate. Yeah, again, he's able to get a couple of goals. He missed a couple. Yeah, he had 14 disposals, 10 kicks, four handballs, seven marks, and two tackles. I didn't think he could do much more from his position on the ground.
Yeah, we did make it pretty tough for him, Jane. I think, like, he's so dependable for a couple of goals again, Jane, which is great to see. And to take those marks, it was really promising. I thought he played quite well, because not only did he have he had four scoring shots in the end, two of those goals, but he also had a goal assist. So he was getting us plenty of looks. Like, he had the nine scoring involvements in the end, Jane. I thought he played a decent game, but obviously starved a bit of opportunity in that forward line.
Jai Caldwell found it hard to get into the game, I thought, you know. I will say he seems to have lost his spot in the centre as much as he used to. Like, they've seemed to add Perkins in there a lot more.
Yep.
Caldwell only had the 13 disposals, six kicks, seven handballs, one mark, but 11 tackles, mate. So he's definitely a player that will you know, really go in hard to try and, you know, save the footy. But, yeah, I just wonder if he should be giving it a few more minutes, definitely in the guts himself.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, like, he's one, you know, when we had the likes of Parrish out and, Caldwell was spending a bit more time in the middle, like, he was getting some quite good numbers and using it fairly well, which is good to see. And I think he's gone back to that sort of forward flank kind of role and finding it a bit tougher. Look, as you say, he found it a bit tough to have an impact. But I still think, like, he's quite young and you can see, like, he doesn't, you know, lack for a bit of ticker for the contest. He definitely goes hard for it and can find the footy quite well. But I just think on the night, just didn't have that much of an impact, unfortunately.
Zach Merritt, again, he leads as captain. He did 5 tackles on the night. Had the 24 disposals, 10 kicks, 14 handballs, 2 marks. I will say he used the ball at 79%, which sounds funny, but he just wasn't as clean as we're used to him. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the pressure the Bulldogs were putting on us. And he's had to lift his game to carry those senior players that aren't there and also our younger players that are getting experience in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think he's being a little bit overwhelmed with that, even though he does such a great job as skipper. But, even though he had the 24 disposals and a goal, I thought it was just a so-so game for Zach.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a victim of his own, good play, really, because, you know, you look at the stats line and all the rest of it and you go, oh, geez, he must have had a pretty decent game. But, yeah, that goal was excellent. But outside of that, I couldn't say he had a massive impact on the game. One thing I will say, though, is his want for the contest and I suppose will to try and get us back into the game is huge at times. There was one play on the wing where he had like 3 or 4 efforts of just tackling blokes and pressuring, harassing, trying to win the ball back for us, and ended up forcing a turnover. But outside of that, I think he was sort of well held, and you saw during the game, like, yeah, the likes of Liberatore just, bodying him, just like pushing him around. And we know Zach is a bloody good player, but he's not a particularly physical bloke. He's not about to push blokes around. So again, this is an instance where we need to, get a bit of an enforcer type to, sit the likes of Liberatore on his ass and say, you're not going to push our captain around. We do lack that. So look, I think Zach Merritt, like, his effort was 110% there. His want for the contest was there, but just on the night, just didn't star as much as we know he can.
Ben Hobbs was another one that had a quieter game. Mm. Just had the 12 disposals, 5 kicks, 7 handballs, 1 mark, 5 tackles. So again, wasn't through lack of effort. He used the ball at 92%. So what little of the footy he got, he generally used in the purpose he was trying to. But, Hobbs has been huge, I think, in the last, 4 or 5 weeks. And, I just think this game really showed the difference between seasoned bodies against, young and developing ones.
Yeah, and I mean, Brad Scott, talked about, some of the guys looking flat. I'd probably put Ben Hobbs in that category. Perhaps he and Caldwell and Perkins, and I guess you can understand it to a degree, when all three of them are flat at the same time, that says to me it's not just loads or something like that. There must be something in the game plan or structures they're running that just isn't allowing them to perform at their highest level. Not his greatest game on the night, but I'm sure it's a game he'll learn from that experience and develop from. So just an average game for Hobbs.
Will Snelling was very quiet, but he just had the 7 disposals, 4 kicks, 3 handballs, 3 marks, and 3 tackles. Just didn't really notice him out there for the whole game.
No, I didn't. And I'm not quite sure what his sort of role is, Jane. Like, because it's not like he was damaging as a small forward or anything like that, or it's not like he was linking up in the ground. And like he played 81% of game time, James. So it's not like he was starved of opportunity. Yeah, I mean, for mine, his spot on the side is like has to be questioned. I don't think he's having a big impact at the AFL level. I'd have to say a very average game from Will Snelling. Yeah, not down to effort, but for impact, we certainly want more from our 22 or 23. The play on the night.
Yeah, if you're averaging less than two possessions a quarter, mate, and your role is either, a flank or, defensively a defensive forward, I think you can do better. Nick Cox was finally back in the side, missed a large chunk of last year, as you know, and finally got his way back into the side. And early, mate, he took a number of marks. I think he's had three marks in the first quarter. Certainly faded as the game went on. And there's not a lot of development in those arms, mate. You really can tell even from the stands, how little his arms are compared to some of his opponents.
Mm.
But he has got, that height that really is beneficial to him. And he didn't use the footy that well, I didn't think, at times. But, it was still great to see Nick back in the senior side. And I hope they persevere with him because, he was a player that, in his first year that really looked like that he was going to be something special.
Mm.
I think we saw at the start of last year, we were all starting to get a bit concerned because of his game style that he was playing before he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
With Nick Cox, just hope he can build his way back into, the player that we thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I actually quite like his game, Jane. As I say, like those few marks, I think in the body, he's definitely, not stacked up a lot, but he did look a lot more solid than he had last year. Not that we saw him much, but, certainly he has. He seemed a bit more solid. Agree, though. I think we need to just lock him in the gym and feed him, for the next 8 to 10 months. But I do think, he showed a bit on the night. And I'm with you, like, even though, output-wise, it wasn't huge over all four quarters. I thought he was pretty good early. So a bit more run in the legs for Nick Cox, a bit more development at AFL level will do him the world of good. I think he played, for what we might expect of him on the night, like having just come back. I thought he played solid and hopefully we'll just develop from here.
Jordan Ridley, very sad news that he's out for 4 to 6 weeks because he was our one real winner on the night, I thought. And really, especially early in that game, it's not a surprise to me. The Bulldogs piled on the goals in that last. That's when the biggest separation between the Bombers and the Bulldogs really stretched out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was largely because Jordan Ridley was no longer there.
Mm.
Really threw us out of position. But, Jordan's just a wonderful player. Unfortunately, we're going to be without him. He took 14 marks, mate. And, we've got to take some of these off because a lot of them were chip kicks. But with his, he took a number of contested marks. So I thought he played a really good game.
Yeah, absolutely. He was so strong all night and just, like, so dependable, Jam. Yeah, those 14 marks, as you say, absolutely brilliant. Had the 9 intercept possessions, Jane, and with his disposals, as I say, like went at about 97%, which is great. And there was some chipping around, but he generally does find good targets up the ground. I thought he was fantastic, and he'll be very sorely missed. Potentially for the rest of the season, Jane. Let's hope for a quick and full recovery. Be fantastic on the night.
Yeah. Jaden Laverty, we were worried about him, mate, after the Geelong game. When he got his leg contact by Gary Rowan.
Yeah.
But he actually had 27 disposals, 19 kicks, 8 handballs, 15 marks, and 4 tackles. So I thought he was very good on the night as well. Not for the big marking totals because, again, I take a lot of discounts off them because a lot of them were chip kicks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he is a player that will definitely – give a contest to any big-bodied opposition player.
Yeah, definitely, Jane. I thought he was fantastic on the night. That's his, I suppose, his physical pressure down back. And he was one that, if the dog's starting to get a bit lippy, he'd give him a shove in the chest and let him know, not in his house, which is good. And that's for his marks. Like he reads the play so well, Jane, and used the ball really well. Like, yes, a bit of chipping around, but also some good field kicking up the ground. So, with his 7 intercept possessions, 7 contested well, as well as 4 score involvements, he got up the ground a little bit as well, Jane. I thought he played a really good game.
Archie Perkins, mate, I played a lot in the midfield. More than you'd think for a player that just had the 8 disposals, 3 kicks, 5 handballs, 1 handball and 1 tackle, and 1 mark and 1 tackle. He made a number of errors. I don't want to, suggest that he was spooked, but he certainly made some errors on the back of being chased by Bulldog players.
Yep.
So that's something he's going to have to work on. There was one really costly one where a handball was released to him. He should have taken it cleanly.
Yeah.
He left it behind and the Bulldogs scored a goal. And, I can only imagine what that does to your confidence. Nachi looked really pained when that happened.
Mm.
Obviously, he didn't deliberately do it, but it's just something, a skill that he just has to pick up on if he's going to be in the midfield, because he's going to be in the, in the tight contests a lot.
Mm.
So, I just hope that he's not too impacted by bad memories of that game and he can move on and use it as a development tool.
Yeah, definitely. I think your point before is absolutely correct. We talked about it last week against the Cats. I do think Archie Perkins needs to, I suppose, work on his poise when under pressure. Because, last week against the Cats, he was getting a bit of the footy, but he was just dumping it, just getting it out of dodge, kicking it, and it'd go straight down to the Cats' throat. Yeah, against the Dogs, he wasn't getting as much of the footy. And then when he did, wasn't overly effective. Done a couple of nice things, so it's not like it was all terrible. And he's one that says he went at 100%. Disposal efficiency, Jane. Not sure about that, but look, on the night, I think, younger bloke, less experience in that midfield, and the Dogs do have a quite good and experienced midfield lineup, has to be said. But I think, probably a good development game for Archie Perkins, because while he might have a bit more size and than some, unless you've got that real midfield craft, which he's obviously working on. You're going to get outpointed more times than not. So, look, we'll take it as a development opportunity, but I still think he'll be a really good player for us going forward.
Nick Hind, again, had a little bit of impact from the bench, mate, after being subbed in.
Yep.
We saw that burst of speed that he has, and as he's prepared to take it through the corridor, taking a couple of bounces. And we've been missing that from our back line, I think, is that player that can really take the game on.
Yep.
So I would hope he'd be rewarded with a full game soon, mate, because that's 2 weeks in a row when in bad performances, he's actually come on and made a little bit of a difference to our style.
Certainly has, mate. I thought he was quite solid. And it's good to see a bit of excitement on the ground from the pretty bland style of footy we were playing. I thought, for the limited time he had on, he played quite well. So good stuff, Nick Hind.
Peter Wright, a tough night getting the ball down there, really. To kick three goals, I thought that was a good effort by Pete. Yeah, that poster he had, I'm sure he would have loved for that to go through. And who might have known what that would have done for our confidence? But it wasn't to be. He had to, 13 touches, 10 kicks, 3 handballs, and 4 marks with a goal. So three goals. So as a forward, I don't think you could ask for too much more, considering the time spent in the forward 50.
Yeah, definitely, as well as the entries we were getting. So, no, I thought he played quite a good game, Pete. So good to see him kick a few goals, especially that first one. Nice crumbing effort. So nice stuff from Peter Wright.
Yeah. Dyson Heppel, mate, he's continued his form of finding the footy. He had the 22 disposals, 17 kicks, 5 handballs, 9 marks and 1 tackle. I didn't think he used the ball as well as previous weeks, although his efficiency says 86% by foot. So that's probably, again, those side chip kicks probably count. There's a lot of completions there. But, I thought at times he looked a little bit vulnerable, but again, I thought he had tried to hold up as best as he could.
Yeah, he did. I think defensively he was pretty good. But when the ball went to the deck and their small forwards got involved, he was completely lost. That's not just on him; it's the whole back six, and it's not blaming the back six. It's just the sheer amount of entries. And the way we were opened up through the midfield, so they were able to get quick options, and really they used the ball quite well. So it makes it pretty hard as a defender when they're getting good ball use in. And we know he's not as young as Springtime anymore, Jane. He's never been a quick player, but I think particularly against the small forwards, he does get found out. So I think he played solidly, but just not starring on the night.
Sam Durham, I didn't mind his game, mate. He doesn't have high impact in terms of disposals. He had the 15 disposals, 9 kicks, 6 handballs, 6 marks, and I thought his marking was really strong on the night. He had to take a number of big ones and 3 tackles. So I thought his efforts were, very gallant.
Yeah, they were, James. And it's good to see him get a bit of confidence and take those marks, because that's certainly an attribute of his that we want him to continually develop. He played a solid role without being outstanding. So and did run the ball quite well on the wing, getting nearly 400 metres gained for us. Pretty tough night for the Bombers. And I think he was... As a winger, it gets probably tougher still. So, I thought he played solidly, again, without starring.
Nick Bryan, mate, on the back of a good game against Geelong, with the inclusion of Andrew Phillips, he wasn't used as much as I thought he would.
No.
I saw a game from Scooter, who does such a great job at this. He only spent 36 minutes on the ground.
Yeah, ridiculous.
If that's your plan, and I know you want to give Phillips a chop out, I'm not going to name a dedicated ruckman to be that.
Yeah.
Again, this is where I get a little bit angry, because we know we've got players you've got Wright who can go in there. You could have named even a Voss, given him a taste of the footy. And asked him to do a bit of the ruck work. But you've played Nick Bryan and you basically played him for 36 minutes and then subbed him out. I just wonder what that does to his confidence, because we both recognised him in last week's game, against Geelong.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, when we come back to development of players, I would think that's a bit of a slap in the face to him.
Yep.
Now, I realise Andrew Phillips is a more senior player, but use Brian as a sub then. Yeah, if you want to, you know, just explain to him, hey, look, you know, we need the bigger body ruckman to do the job this week against Tim English. Yeah, you're going to be the sub. So when you come on, you know, you're full of energy, you can try and take on Tim English. Sell it that way. But yeah, just, I thought it was almost cruel to play him for that long and then sub him out. Yeah, he must be delusioned, you know, disillusioned, I mean, because, you know, you would, on the back of a good performance, I just didn't think that's how he deserved to be treated.
No, I totally agree with all those points, Shane. You know, to have a bloke starting 22 to only play 31% of game time, yeah, it's pretty poor management for mine. Like, if you've got to play him, then you play him. You back him in and, yeah, you say, see what you can do. You know, why we didn't even go, okay, look, see how you go down forward for a bit. I know, change things up. But unfortunately, they didn't. So we can't put the performance on Nick Bryan. I think he did as well as he could. Like, obviously, 36 minutes on there, he had 15 hit-outs. So if you're getting a hit-out every, you know, one every 2 minutes or so, James, I think that's pretty good for a ruckman. It's not like you're having him every 30 seconds. So, yeah, I thought he'd probably done as well as he could with a very limited opportunity afforded to him by the coaching group. So, just feel sorry for Nick Bryan.
Yeah, and look, they did try him, you know, being at the game live, I saw him go forward a bit, but he just couldn't take a mark, and it wasn't an easy night for him because there was a number of dogs, talls around there as well. So, you know, I don't think we expected him to come in there and start, you know, taking big marks at full forward and so forth. But just to be a secondary option to Peter Wright would have been the idea, I would have thought.
Mm.
But if Andrew Phillips can't do that for you on the night, then, yeah, I think it's a bit unreasonable to expect Nick Bryan to do it, if you know what I mean. So, disappointing for Nick. Again, the coaches will have to look how they want to set up the side next week. I know they like to play two ruckman generally, but they have to play it better than that because I just thought that we forfeited a player almost, only having him play 36 minutes.
Mm.
Jake Stringer, again, mate, he looks lame. He's just got no power in his run, and you know, people pot him about his fitness and so forth. Throughout the year, mate, he's had these pot shots thrown at him, and it hasn't been a problem in that. You know, it might look like a waddle, but he had power behind his run. He had none of that on the weekend. I love Jake. He's my favourite player to watch when he's up and going. But, you know, at some point the coaches have to say, look, is he capable of actually playing to any level that's going to help our team? Because I can't say that they could think that because they're not playing through the middle. We know that's been an option for him generally. They haven't been playing him there very much at all. So that says to me, even they're aware that he simply can't do it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the tough call has to be made then. Hey, Jake, it might be just a niggle, but you know, we can't carry you with a niggle.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to get yourself right because you're not helping the team. And, you know, I would think players understand that. But, real tough night for Jake Stringer against his old team. And he's had a number of those. He hasn't really played well against the Bulldogs as yet. Mm. I'm sure it'll happen one day. But, it just wasn't his night. And, you know, again, just had the 8 disposals, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, so not his best output. I agree with all your points, James. I dare say he's carrying something. So look, he's not sort of helping himself or the side by being out there. I think that needs to be recognised. It is a development year after all. So if he's unable to perform the role you have in mind for him, give someone else an opportunity. It's not like we're, you know, threatening for the flag this year, Jane. So I think right now, I still think, you know, over the course of the year, he's played, you know, some solid roles for us. You know, without starring, he hasn't had that burst that we know he's capable of. But he has played some solid roles for us. But certainly on the night, he looks tired, Jam. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this 8 day break will freshen him up. But I think he might need a bit more time on the sidelines.
Yeah, Mason Redmond again. He tried hard, mate. Yeah, he had plenty of the footy. 28 disposals, 20 kicks, 8 handballs, 9 marks. So, yeah, he was there, a real goer. 89% efficiency of the footy. So if his stats were what you looked at, mate, you'd say what a great game he had. But just didn't feel that way for me, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think he played a solid game. For mine, like certainly getting plenty of footy and plenty of penetration with his kicking, which probably goes to that meters gained stat. But it's the effectiveness of those. And I think that's probably not really his fault. Like our forward line just wasn't functioning that well for those kicks to be effective, like to make a contest at that ball or that entry, and then yeah, have someone to basically collect the ball off the crumb. We didn't really have that. I think he, you know, done enough to try and win the footy for us. Like, had the 7 intercept possessions, you know, 5 contested, which is great. But just didn't have enough blokes to link up with to make those possessions more impactful for mine. So I think he played well, but without being outstanding.
Jake Kelly, we've talked about him a bit, mate. Again, stat lines look great when they're just on paper. They had the 21 disposals, 19 kicks, 2 handballs, 16 marks, 1 tackle. And he used the ball at 95%. So if I had read you out that, mate, without the witness of the game, you would say, what a great game he had. Again, I didn't feel that way. Like, again, defensively, he's very solid.
Yep.
But, you know, you've got to be multifaceted in those back line. You've got to be attacking as well. And I think that second part is where he's really failing at the moment, is that we've got to get that ball movement much quicker.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, realistically, you kind of don't want a Jake Kelly to be having 20-odd disposals. Like, he's a stopper. He's a defender. Yeah, you'd like the ball in the hands of our more attacking and efficient users. And it's not like he makes clangers and stuff like that. It's just his ball movement is so slow and stagnant. It doesn't allow us some good run. So, look, I think he played his role solidly, but just his decision-making and the time it takes for him to make those decisions is hurting us for mine. So I'm not going to put that on him. I'm going to put that on the coaching group. Yeah, I'd have to say he's... output on the night, like, was solid, but certainly we'd want a bit more from in terms of ball movement.
Brandon Zirk Thatcher, mate, I don't know if you heard today, but Kane Corns, he went with this one, mate. He's got it on good authority. Brandon Zirk Thatcher will be with Port Adelaide next year. The Port are very confident they have him, and they're going to use him as a depth player, so he hasn't been guaranteed senior footy. Now, what part of that smells funny to you, mate?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure he's South Australian. I guess the first thing is Kane Corn said it. So, and then, like, why would you give up, playing that back role to go to Port as a backup player? The other rumor we've heard, which kind of aligns with that, is they're sort of waiting as to whether, you know, Essendon goes with a Mackay, option to, throw the kitchen sink at him to get that bigger forward, a bigger defender rather, that we desperately need, which you can understand from Zirk Thatcher's view, like that might, stifle his opportunity. But it kind of reminds me of the move of, what was his name? Pruce. To North Melbourne. Like, he was a developing ruckman under Max Gawn, and then he went to North, and where he was the understudy to to Goldie, and you kind of thought, why? Like, what? Why would you go, you know, to be the understudy somewhere else? So it's, I don't know.
Then he got moved on to GWS by memory, and
yeah,
had injury problems. So yeah, AFL footy, you've got to strike while the iron's hot. But that sounded a little bit bogus to me, that you'd rather leave Essendon to go to be a development player or a depth player for Port Adelaide. Having said that, the main premise to that was that apparently Essendon gave a very modest contract offer, really subpar, apparently, according to his manager. So it was almost disrespectful, the contract that was originally offered to Brandon earlier in the year, and that led to him asking to not have further talks until the end of the year. So I guess that's why you get this kind of stuff. But, yeah, Adrian's got a lot of work to do, mate. I know we're reviewing the game, but he's got a lot of work to do because there's a lot of players out of contract. There's players we're trying to get in. So, yeah, I hope he's got his calculator going, mate, because he has to work out what he can afford to spend, where he wants to spend it. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting times. But Brandon on the night, I thought he was pretty good as well, mate. You know, he tried very hard on Chimara for most of it. Had 17 disposals, 14 kicks, 3 handballs, 10 marks and 2 tackles. He's a real goer, Brandon, and I actually rated him on the night, but just wasn't our night, and I guess the defenders were going to be in the limelight a lot more.
They certainly were, mate. I quite liked his game, Jame. Plenty of marking at the 10 marks, as you say, but 5 intercept possessions, 3 contested. Used the ball fairly well, when he had it, which is good. And I think, you know, of Hugo Hagen's goals, like a couple of them were pretty lucky, like from free kicks, and then that one just fell in his lap. You couldn't do anything about that. So I thought he played a solid game. Let's hope he sticks around.
Yeah. Andrew Phillips came back into the side. He had 35 hitouts, only the 7 disposals. He had 6 tackles, so he's definitely trying to stifle that midfield that we're talking about, the Bulldogs. But it's just the 2 marks, 5 kicks, 2 handballs. And, considering how little time Nick Bryan got in the midfield, going in the ruck, I thought it was a bit below par where he'd want to be, Andrew Phillips, on the night.
Yeah, I mean, like, he played all right, but you couldn't say he had an impact hugely on the game. Like, even those 6 tackles, I can't remember registering him thinking, oh, gee, that's a great tackle. He'll never lack for effort, Andrew Phillips, but I just thought he just didn't have a huge impact on the night, despite him holding up his end as a ruckman in the middle there.
Matt Guelfi had a tough night too, mate, but it's not a surprise considering how the ball was going forward 50. He had the 10 disposals, 7 kicks, 3 handballs, 5 marks, which might surprise a few, and 1 tackle only. So just wasn't able to impact the play or the defence of the Bulldogs, which is usually his asset. Looked a couple of times that he's a bit sore in the hamstring at the time, but, you know, he got through the game. So, tough night for him. He did kick a goal and also missed one. But, tough day for a forward, I think.
Yeah, definitely. He played okay, Matt Guelfi, but as I said before, he's not a natural forward for mine in terms of, you know, being able to – yeah, get a crumb or know where the fall of the ball's going to go shark one or two sneaky ones. He works hard, and that's great, but we really do need a natural forward if we're going to make use of that. You know, if you're bombing in the forward 50, you need someone to be able to shark those and get some scoring opportunities for us, because, look, Matt Guelfi, played okay. Kicked a goal, which is good. But I don't think we can put it all on his shoulders and say, off you go. So I think, yep, okay game. Without Starron.
And finally, Nick Martin, he didn't have as much of the footy as he usually gets. 19 disposals, 14 kicks, 5 handballs, 7 marks, 4 tackles. And didn't trouble the scorers. Again, he's a player that is a bit of a link player for us, runs up and down the ground and generally has more impact in games, but he wasn't alone, so I'm not prepared to shoot him down, mate. I just think it was a tough night for him.
Yep, I agree with that, James. Like he was certainly running around trying to get the footy, but just wasn't able to penetrate as much as he would have liked, or the side. He did have a good goal assist though, so that's a good one for him. But I'd have to say a fairly average game for Nick Martin.
And that leads us to the Don's Cast medal votes. Mate, you always go first, so I'll let you lead off. And how did you find finding 5 players out of that side?
Yeah, it was pretty tough, mate. And I don't think it'll be a surprise that I've gone mostly defenders in my votes. So I went 1 vote to McGrath, 2 to Langford, 3 to Zirk Thatcher, 4 to Laverty, and 5 to Jordan Ridley, who I thought was clearly best on. How about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
Yeah, again, it was a tough one to pick out. I went 5 for Ridley. I thought he was clearly our best. 4 for Zirk. Just loved the way he tries to defend. Even though he ended up getting 3 goals kicked on him, I thought he, as you said, mate, one's free kick, another one ball fell in the bloke's arm. So, yeah, him. I gave 3 to Durham. 3 to Langford for his efforts up forward. Just thought that he was really a player that made the most of his forward opportunities. I gave 2 to Lav. So much footy down back. A bit like you, mate, a lot of them found their way into the votes. I gave 1 to Durham just because he took a few big marks on the wing there and I think he's still developing as a player, but we saw snippets of the player that he could be, and I like to reward him with that.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I'll tally up the votes then, Jane. So if I start from the bottom, so we've got 5 votes each to Durham, Brian, Wright, and Perkins, 6 to Draper, 7 to Setterfield, 8 to Wiedemann, 10 each to Laverty and Phillips, 12 each to Caldwell and Kelly, 13 for Zirk Thatcher, 18 to Shield. Heppel and Stringer have 21 each. McGrath's got 34. Langford on 36. Hobbs on 37. And our top 5, Jane, Parrish on 39. Redmond on 48. Martin on 49. Ridley on 66. And still out in front is Zach Merritt on 73 Don's Cast medal votes.
Well, I'm sure it's not a prestigious award, to Jordan Ridley, but he was coming like a freight train, Jordan Ridley. He was not far behind Zach, and now he's going to be out for, eventually. Oh, looks like most of the season now, mate. We'd have to make the finals for him to be back, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd want to rush a player back. Particularly if we're out of the finals race. So we might not see Jordan again this year, but he certainly finished the year strong. Unfortunately, he's just got injured, and let's hope that he has a speedy recovery and, all's well with him. And, he just sees this as a small little impact on a great career.
Yeah, absolutely, mate.
All right, let's finish it up. We always say thanks for listening. Until next week, go Bombers.
Go Dons.